This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Well, I'm
back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Draven Fine, Hayden Wallen. Still no Cam. He's back, I believe, Wednesday.
Living it up there, isn't he?
Living it up in New York City as we get your week started off right, the last week of October. How are we today? Hayden, how are you? You can answer today. Since you're in the big chair over there.
Doing all right.
Forget I asked.
Just kills you with negativity, man.
Forget I asked. What about you, Draven? How are you?
I had a great weekend, John. Great weekend for Draven.
Was it?
Yes,
what
sir.
What was so good about it?
You know, 4-1 in my picks. Kind of proving I'm still the NFL king. Going to catch you next week, Hayden. No. I know. Half a game
lucky,
back now. 4-1, though.
I would say the Dolphins game.
4-1 week.
Game I've ever seen.
How about my Buzz City? My Hornets, baby. 3-0. First time in franchise history, John, and a big win over the Nets yesterday. I don't know if you watched with all the NFL action going on. Probably on your way back from Nash, Vegas. But, yeah, Buzz City. Rocking. Rolling. Feels good.
Have you ever been 3-0 before?
First time in franchise history.
That's sad.
Is that since, like, I guess, like, with the Bobcats, like the new Hornets or like the old Hornets that count too? Like the Hornets.
I think it might be the whole thing. I'll try to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure it's the whole just franchise.
History. I bet it's only Bobcats and then them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I know
yeah.
They're getting to keep the Baron Davis, Jamal Mashburn history because they kind of trade it back with the Pelicans. So, like, I wasn't sure, like, exactly who.
I don't get how all that works.
Yeah.
Oh, they did trade it back, didn't they?
Yeah, it's first, the Pelicans. First time in franchise history, it says.
I didn't remember seeing that.
No. Okay, well. 3-0 is pretty cool. I did say they beat the Nets.
Dominated the Nets, in fact.
Congrats on 4-1 in your picks. I, too, went 4-1.
Rode those Titans. How about them? Let's hear it. Tighten up.
Nothing to talk about.
Sure, I hate when you do this, man. I hate when you do this.
Beat up on a team you're supposed to beat up on.
Yep.
Don't you guys show a little excitement, man. You didn't just beat them. You killed them.
Beat up on a team.
Not even close.
I've been telling everybody that would listen for a year the Chiefs are done. I've been saying it since January, or February, I guess, since February.
I mean, Titans are like destroyer of worlds over here. They destroyed the Brady and the Patriots franchise. Remember that?
Yeah.
Destroyed Lamar Jackson, his MVP season, that great run that they had. Now,
right.
Maybe not destroying the Chiefs, maybe still a playoff team, but nobody's scared of the Chiefs anymore, that's for sure.
They're actually going to be in trouble when it comes to making the playoffs. It's going to be depending on like kind of what the other teams around them do, like, because they're going to struggle to get to really over 10 wins. They might be able to get to 10, but no surprise there. You know, you knew going into Chiefs Titans that you were going to see one of the best quarterbacks in the world play football, and you know, we did. You saw that was going to happen. I mean, you knew you were going to see an MVP type of performance. You had an MVP out there throwing touchdown passes, at least one of them.
That was one of the better games I've seen from Tannehill.
Also about Derrick Henry's touchdown pass. Round the money, back in the end zone. He threw more touchdowns.
Have they run that play since the postseason? Was that the first time since the Ravens game?
The
jump pass?
That was the first time. He didn't even jump. It was just a...
No, it was just a little pop pass, really. He honestly probably could have just ran it in if he really wanted to.
I don't think he could have.
He could have maybe muscled his way in.
Well,
either way,
looked
cool
they
with the touchdown pass. That might help the MVP case, which he didn't have a ton of yards, so he didn't get over 100, did he?
He had 100 scrimmage yards.
Okay.
Only 89 rushing yards, but added, like, I think 14 or 13 receiving yards and 5 passing yards. So still had 100 yards. Yeah, no, it was a bizarro game because you had, you know, you thought maybe Derrick Henry was going to run all over the Chiefs. He didn't. You thought the Chiefs are surely going to score points against the Titans, especially whenever you get to the injury report and the Titans have, what, five guys in the secondary out, four guys in the secondary out?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter. And Titans front seven. Boy, Titans defensive line.
Byard looks good again, making plays out there, running
Byard
around.
Byard back to balling.
Who's that, Molden? Molden's actually not bad either. A little slot corner kind of. Yeah.
The front seven, Landry, still creating a bunch of pressure. Big Jeff Simmons, Aaron Donald 2.0, and Danico Autry, still of the offseason. It was a good game. I'm not going to overreact to it. You do what you're supposed to. You beat a 500 team at home.
What about the bigger picture here with the whole entire AFC? You put Tennessee at the top. They got the best record. Todd for the best record in the AFC with the Bengals?
Now every team.
Raiders, too?
Now every team in the AFC has at least two losses. You have a logjam there with the Ravens, Titans, Raiders, and Bengals all at 5-2. The Bills and Chargers had bye weeks. They're 4-2. So got a logjam with a bunch of good teams. What it means going forward, I mean, I said it on either Thursday or Friday that this game was going to come down. If the Titans won, it was going to be about the Chiefs. If the Titans lost, it would have been about the Chiefs winning. It was all about the Chiefs, all about the Chiefs. And they got their ass kicked. And, I mean, that's what the conversation is. What's wrong with Kansas City? Are they done? And that's fine. I guess they've earned that, but when you score 188 points on your season through 7 weeks, and you're giving up 203 and you're in the negative point differential, like nobody thought that was where the Chiefs were headed. They keep telling you they're going to snap out of it, they're going to snap out of it, and we keep waiting, and I'm not saying it's still not going to happen, but man, it isn't. It would be really surprising at this point if they morph back into juggernauts. Mahomes, I don't know if I want to say he looks broken, but even the Chiefs, like I saw a stat that they convert 84% of their first downs, which is wild. Like, so basically when they get the ball and it's first and 10, 84% of the time they pick up another first down. And I guess if it ends in a touchdown, that also counts. But like what that tells me is that teams are giving them 12-yard passes or, you know, 5-yard, 6-yard plays, and eliminating the deep passes. And they're making the Chiefs drive all the way down the field. And so far, they haven't been able to do that consistently. Even yesterday against the Titans, they put a couple drives together at the beginning of the game and then got to midfield and got sacked and fumbled and had turnovers.
I do wonder why that is, though. Because it's like, that's the narrative. It's like, oh, just don't get beat deep. It's like, they got playmakers that could just throw under. Like, just give Tyreek Hill a 3-yard pass and let him go to work. And it just, like you said, still doesn't work. I don't understand. The offensive line looked brutal yesterday.
Tyreek Hill, I mean, didn't do anything. I mean, he had one, I want to say even like one catch for 8 yards through the first like 2.5 quarters. Got one reverse. I mean, he didn't do anything. And, you know, he's had boomer bust games where defenses come in and they bracket him and they take him out and they're like, hey, you're not going to be running wild in our secondary. And then, like I said, it's just a bunch of dinking and dunking to Pringle and Hardman and Kelsey for 6 yards, and all of a sudden it doesn't look as dangerous. And maybe Mahomes isn't as accurate as we thought he was. Really accurate down the field when he's throwing to wide-open guys, but when they're making you go 6-7 yards a pop, it hasn't worked as well for him. And he's still trying to do too much. He bought into the press clippings. Like, he's bought into him being Superman, the greatest quarterback of all time. And, you know, he's getting humbled right now, and he hasn't readjusted to the adjustment.
Well, it doesn't help when your defense pretty much gives up a touchdown almost every drive. I mean, it was 14-0 in a blink of an eye in this game.
I mean,
it's
that's
like,
fine, but that shouldn't mean that like they can't pass the ball now. It's not like they're a run team anyways. Like, it's not like they can really run the ball ever anyways. So, you know, if they lose a shootout, then yeah, no one's going to blame them, but they scored 3 points, man. They got beat down again. You know, he had such a long streak going that he hadn't lost by double digits or by more than a touchdown. Like, he had basically, like, his whole college career, I want to say. Well, maybe not his college career. He said 2016, but I guess he get in the league in 2016 instead of a year. Would that have been it?
I think so.
Or was he in the league in 17 instead of a year and played 18?
He was in the league in 17. That was his rookie season.
Okay.
So yeah, because they went to the AFC Championship game his first year, lost to the Patriots, then 19,
yeah,
won the Super Bowl.
So maybe going back to his last year at Texas Tech, like, he hadn't lost by more than 8 points. And then 3 of the last 8 weeks I saw where he's gotten beaten by over 18. When you can, you know, when you count the Super Bowl, where they got absolutely dominated, the Bills beat them by 18. And then yesterday the Titans cut their water off,
I mean, we talked about it. They're what? What did we say? 3-13-1 against the spread or something like that. Well, now 3-14-1, whatever it is.
But I'm not going to sit here and beat my chest about the Titans. They did what they're supposed to. They beat a bad team. An average team. I won't call them bad. An average team.
So not ready to claim Titans as the kings of the AFC?
Nah, still got work to do. Still got work to do. We are on to Indianapolis.
All right, Belichick.
We're on to Indianapolis. Next up.
All right.
Big game.
Go there. Let's wrap up the
Colts
division.
Colts looking good.
Are the Colts looking good or are the 49ers just trash? That's something that you have to figure out. But we are off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. 16 deliciously refreshing flavors, only 100 calories. Please drink responsibly. Hodden, send us to break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about the football weekend that was. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Hope I can come scoop you up round 745. Slide around with my drop top up or down you down the rack. Look into my eyes and told me, daddy, show you right. 745. Back on the program. Hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you just need to address the elephant in the room? Do you need to just get it over with? Because it seems like it's holding you back. You okay?
I'm just not going to speak to him. You know, I'll speak to you, though, John.
Okay.
I'm just disappointed in the lack of accountability in this room.
Oh, boy.
Just actually thoroughly disappointed.
I want to talk about lack of accountability. This guy, wanting to talk about lack of accountability, always late. Lack of accountability. Get out of here.
You're referring to Draven doing what we all knew he was going to do and not showing up for his punishment this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too, but, you know, it's what we talked about Friday. What can we do?
It's like, what can you do?
I have no shame.
We know you do. It's fine. We don't have to talk about it because I think it's just going to upset us. No point in joking about it anymore.
Point in doing board bets anymore.
Yeah, we won't do that anymore either, so it's fine. You didn't just let yourself down. You let the audience down.
We'll just do the picks, I guess. We won't do any more board bets. There's no point in doing them. So.
Well, the picks were tied to board bets, so we don't even need those anymore either.
Yeah.
Come on. Are you guys kidding me? You guys kidding me right now?
We can just take them off the graphic, maybe.
We can still do them because you did punishment.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'll do that. I won't even get into it.
You know.
I won't even get into it.
No consequences.
I mean, I could tell it's really affecting you. You were the group chat was tense this weekend. You came in a bad mood. It spilled over in the first commercial break.
Yep.
I mean, I'm there with you. I feel you. I'm just trying to.
Why don't you guys cry about it or something?
No sense of crying about it. You know, it is what it is. It's disappointing, but.
I had plans this weekend. I told you guys. You guys didn't bring it up all week. It's always Draven's fault, man.
I don't want
the fact that you guys don't mention it for another week and a half, and then like, oh yeah, you're gonna serve your punishment. I already have plans. I have plans Friday night.
I don't want to waste more time talking about stuff that never has payoffs.
Oh my god,
so,
whatever, man. Whatever.
Just want to point out one more time that you picked the actual date. So I don't know why you're.
And then you guys didn't bring it up forever, and I forgot about it, and I made plans.
Either way, like I said, I don't want to spend more time talking about stuff that doesn't happen. It's obviously affecting the show. Hayden's over here. I don't want to say on the verge of tears because that's not accurate, but just
he looks like he's on the verge of tears.
Yeah, it's just
looks like he's about to cry. Look at him.
I think it's just
What'd you cry about, Hayden?
I think
he's
just really heartbroken and disappointed, and I think he's a little mad at me because he wants me to do something to you about it, and I can't do nothing. When he's talking about lack of accountability, I can't. Can't force him to come here, Hayden. Can't punish him. I mean, obviously we've tried. I can't whip his ass, but I'm not going to. There's nothing we can do here, so I'm sorry. I let him. You know, it's kind of an honor system thing here, and maybe it's our fault for letting it go as long as we did, and you know, maybe it's a little your fault for not just getting tethered for the weekend or
could have had it all over with.
But I just feel like you're a little mad at me, too, because you think I should be able to, do something about it. I'm sorry, but I can't. So I hope you'll forgive me. I know you're not going
to forgive. Oh, it's not your fault.
Okay, thank you. I know you're not going to forgive Draven. And the audience is upset, too, and I've been doing a lot of fallout there and messages, but I just tell them all the same thing. I can't do nothing about it. Can't kidnap him and put him here. That'd be, false imprisonment. That's borderline kidnapping. I'd be in trouble.
Or you could just give a reminders about the punishment. Maybe set it up a little bit better instead of just.
You set the date.
That's ridiculous. We didn't talk about it for another week and a half.
You forgot the Cowboys were on a bye?
No, I didn't forget. I just forgot about the punishment. We talked about it one day.
We talked about Friday.
Talked about it one day. Yeah, exactly. The day I told you I had plans Friday night. Mm-hmm. I made plans.
And we told you to come in afterwards. And if you like really had felt bad when Hayden texted you on Saturday, you would have just came in on Saturday and set. Sunday. But it's fine. Again, I don't want to waste more time talking about it. The audience doesn't want to hear about it. They've said to quit talking about it. They said told me to just go ahead and kiss my $1,000 away too, and that's, you know.
That's true.
That's understandable. I mean, yeah. So I won't even sit here for a weekend. Definitely going to honor that agreement.
I'm going to honor that. I'm going to pay you.
Yeah. So, I mean. Hayden, what were your big football takeaways of the weekend? You want to talk NFL or Vols? I found myself
Either
mad.
Either one's fine.
I found myself actually a little mad on Saturday, which.
Me too.
Testament to, I guess, the team for giving you something to be mad about, but. 52-24, still a blowout on the final score, still another game where Tennessee doesn't cover. The streak continues of, like, Tennessee has double-digit underdogs. They just don't cover. Their streak, their against-the-spread record is bad, bad when it comes to that. They don't cover against top-10 teams. Either they get blown out in these games. And the last couple you have felt decent about, at least in the first half, right? I mean,
the one I felt really bad about last year, they actually did cover against Florida.
That was the one nobody wanted them to cover. Yeah. That was the one after everyone was, like, giving up and was hammering Florida, trying to, you know, at least buy some happiness. They get a last-second touchdown to cover there. So, yeah, the one time they did was the time everybody wanted them not to.
At least this game was a lot closer than the score indicated.
Ugh, I don't know.
I mean,
it was. Don't say that. Don't do that. I don't know. It was. We were down 7 in the fourth quarter. A couple turnovers and it falls apart at the end. We say this happen all the time.
I mean,
try to act like it was a blowout the whole time, just waiting to happen.
It was definitely closer than 28 points, but
exactly.
We never put one drive together. I mean, the longest drive we had was like 5 plays.
Well, I mean, if you're hyper, that's how you want to score, but it does seem like there's a little bit of what the Tennessee offense does with a little bit of what the Kansas City offense does, right? Like, if you get the big plays, you look pretty good, but whenever you actually have to put together a drive, it doesn't usually go well for you. To me, the game was, I don't want to say lost because I think you still have ended up losing, but to me, like, the 4th-and-1 punt from the 47, I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, we're 25-point underdogs, you're not supposed to be in this game. Like, it's not like your defense has been solid at times, but like, your defense hasn't held up for 4 quarters against anybody. Like, they've had a lapse at least in 1 quarter pretty much every game this year. I mean, excluding, like, you know, Tennessee Tech and Bowling Green. Well, Bowling Green, the second quarter, you had a lapse, but excluding, you know, Tennessee Tech, you've had a lapse and you just wear down, and you know, the defense wore down like they did against Florida, like they did against Pittsburgh, like they did against, you know, I won't say they wore down against Ole Miss, but.
Well, I mean, I saw a stat this weekend that we have like bottom fifth of college football, like fourth quarter defense.
Well, I mean, A, Tennessee doesn't have a lot of depth. We know that. And B, like, you spend a lot of time scoring fast or going 3 and out. Like, it's either Tennessee will put together a scoring drive within 2 minutes or they'll go with 3 and out or pick up 1 first down and then get stopped. So, I mean, like, it's a. It's frustrating. So, I mean, like, knowing that your defense is most likely going to get tired, especially when you're playing a team like Alabama, who is full of 4 and 5 stars, right? Like, their depth isn't an issue. Their team gets stronger as the game goes on. They will wear you down. To have 4th-and-1.5, 4th-and-long 1, whatever it was, because it was 4th-and-1, then after the delay of game, it was 4th-and-7. So, whatever you want to say, maybe it was more like 4th-and-2. You're at midfield, you're an offensive coach. To punt in that situation, down 7.
It's like he was about to call a play, too. It showed him on the sideline with, you know, the little card, and he was talking on the headset. It's like he was about to call a play. I don't understand what happened.
It's the second time he has let a delay of game bail him out, though. So, like, I don't know if he's pretending he's going to do that to try to make Alabama call a timeout or what. But he did the same thing against Florida.
Yeah.
Where you line up and you have miscommunication or you can't get the play in or whatever, and then you end up taking a delay of game and punting. Like, it was. Was it 17 points when you did against Florida, maybe? Or was it 10 points? It was still a somewhat close game.
Might have been 17 at that point.
Maybe at the very beginning of the fourth quarter it was 17. Like, but if you scored there, you could have got it to 10, at least made them sweat a little bit. Maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe it was 10 and we punted. But either way, it was the same thing. You line up. We all know you like going very fast, and then you take your time and get a delay of game and let that be your bailout reason you don't go for it. You know, I criticized that online, and some people were defensive, and that's good that if you like are defending the coach, it seems like people still really like Heupel. Even coming out of this game, they really like Heupel. I'm not saying I don't like Heupel. I do like Heupel. I do. I want him to be good here. This team has been more competitive than we thought. I did not think I would be upset at this game before the year. I did not think I would be pumped for Ole Miss before the game, you know, before this year. I've been pretty complimentary of him, but I'm still going to criticize pretty much any coach being down one score in a game, fourth and short, around midfield and punting. Like, I just don't believe in that.
Yep.
And more in football now, especially the NFL, we've seen most coaches kind of come around and say, you know what, this is a bad play. Because what are we worried about? Oh, no, we might turn the ball over at midfield. We might give them the ball. So how about we just voluntarily punt them the ball instead, and then they come right down the field and score?
You're saying teams go for it at their own 30-yard line, 40-yard line,
sure,
more often.
Yeah. And you could point at, like, well, it cost Lane Kiffin their game against Ole Miss. Sure, that's fine, but, like, I'm sure Lane doesn't have any regrets because he knew that he had to try to steal some possessions to beat Alabama.
The only thing that I think was the fear was just getting stuffed on the 3rd-and-1, like at the beginning of the game. I guess just knowing you couldn't run the football, but it's like,
throw it then.
Exactly. We have all these RPOs and different stuff we can do and jet sweeps and all that. Like, yeah, I agree. I think you just got to take the risk.
I would simply say run a regular play. Like, people that was a popular reply was, we're getting stopped in short yardage all night. So does our offense suck? Like, does this, because you kind of said the same thing against Florida. Said the same thing last week against Ole Miss when we punted on 4th-and-1 from the 34, like when we need to keep up with this offense. And, like, if you don't think you have good short yardage plays, like, make some up. Develop some during practice. You're supposed to be an offensive coach. Like, can you not come up with any plays? Is it all, like, got a wide receiver running wide open in the secondary or nothing here? Because you got to be able to do something. In football, like, we all know, you have to be able to get a yard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to do that. If you're going to be any good, like if you're going to succeed anywhere, you have to be able to get a yard. And Tennessee punted. And for me, that's going to be my lasting memory of this game. There were some good moments, like getting up 14-7 in the first quarter. That was good. The 57-yard pass to Peyton got you pumped up. The
Hooker was awesome. Hooker was awesome Saturday.
Yeah. The busted play to Tillman, you know, kind of after that, you get back within 7, and then you just can't get another stop. I just have a problem with it because you had the ball down 7 at midfield, heading into the fourth quarter against Alabama. You punted, and then you never touched the ball again. Down 7 with a chance to tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
You gave up your opportunity to do that, and you never got it again. And that's why I had a problem with it. Because you actually had chances to tie the game or take the lead. Like, you had chances to do that. But when you look at the fourth quarter, you get beat 28-7. Then you look and you're like, oh, well, Alabama had the ball 40 minutes and you had it 19.
That's ridiculous.
40-26 to 19-34.
Jeez.
They have 33 first downs to your 10. Tennessee didn't get blown out yardage-wise, like you maybe think with the 33-10 first downs because Tennessee able to hit some big plays, but 574 to 346. And then he tried to play the game straight up in the fourth quarter and play field position. Like, to me, Heupel's done that a couple times this year. That's my one criticism so far of him this year, is I would like to see some more aggression. The game is trending that way.
Got nothing to lose, Heupel. He's got nothing to lose. Are we going to be mad if we get stopped on a 4th-and-short? No. Like, Probably not.
He obviously wasn't a bit worried about the final score because then he ends up going for it down, what, 20? Or down 17? 21, I guess?
Yeah.
It's like 4th-and-7. 21. 4th-and-7 from your own 30, which I had no problem with. Like, I didn't care. Like, you're already down. If you bet on the game, maybe you're mad because you're like, okay, we're still covering the spread at that point. What the hell are you doing?
They probably would have still scored, though.
They might have. Or he might have, you know, Saban might have took his foot off the gas and burned some clock. Like, I mean, Saban's done that a lot at times where he's had possessions in inside the 20, like where he just gets down there and kneels the ball out. Or they could have gone a long drive and scored with a minute. Like, I don't know, but I'm saying I didn't have a problem with them going for it on 4th-and-6 from their 29 down 21. I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't bet on Tennessee. I didn't care. If you did bet on them, you might be upset, but I didn't. I didn't care. So he obviously wasn't worried about keeping the score respectable or anything, which, again, I'm fine with. I'm just always going to err on the side of aggression. And I think you just have to be aggressive. I know it got Ole Miss sunk. I don't care. Tennessee can't live in Ole Miss's fear. What'd you think, Hayden?
I mean, I think the first half was good, but I'm just the post game stuff just like kind of just pisses me off. Where it's like everybody's like, "Oh, it's good to see these boys show some fight." I mean, like, come on now, we lost the game by 28 points.
I mean, I'm not gonna fault people for trying to find optimism, but I will say, like,
but the notion that we haven't had people like trying out there for the last 3 or 4 years, yeah, like that's just stupid.
Well, I was just gonna say, run back the clock and like. Every first year of a new coach, you say the same thing.
Yes. He's the guy. He just needs to get some players in here. Well, first off, he ain't getting any players in here unless he's getting these transfer portal guys out here, which I would say they probably have a 25% chance of working out.
I'm not even, like, upset about that. Like, I don't care if people want to be positive. Like, you put a lot of time and energy. A lot of people put money into the program. They don't have to be miserable all the time. I'm not – if people want to look for positives, that's fine. I'm just saying – we say the same thing after every first-year coach. Like, oh, those boys are playing hard this time.
Yeah.
I do think the guys are playing hard. But I thought they played hard for Jeremy Pruitt until the last year. Yep. Really, I thought they played hard against Florida, too. I didn't think they really actually, like, very like quit. Maybe they did in a couple of games. I don't remember. But, like, I didn't think effort was ever the real issue for Tennessee last year. I just thought they were poorly coached.
Yep.
And had a bad quarterback.
All right, you bunch of negative Nancys.
I'm not even negative at all. I haven't said one negative thing.
It's not necessarily negative, but I mean, just think about, oh, you complaining about people being too positive. Just think about our expectations, like we said at the beginning of the season, man. Like,
literally the beginning of the show that it was, or the beginning of the segment that I was, it's a testament to the team that you actually got mad on Saturday. I said that, like, I didn't expect to care at all about the game. Like, Tennessee came out, they played really good in the first half. They might be the best first quarter team in the country. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Magic's where they're top five, like, first quarter offense in the country. Like, they come out with a damn good game plan.
Yep.
Like, they came out and were beating Alabama 14-7. They might be in. Alabama's been a really fast starter. I mean, you know, before the A&M game, they'd covered like 12 straight first halves. Like, Alabama comes out with a good game plan. They were still up at 7, you know, up by 7.5. That's fine. But Tennessee punched them in the mouth in the first quarter. So, like, Heupel has definitely got things that are positive. Like, again, you came out and you had the script. You were ready to go. And again, I don't want to criticize this at all. Like, again, you lost to Alabama. So what? We always lose to Alabama. You showed a couple of flashes. That's fine. Like, we've done that in the past. We've shown some things we can build on. It all comes down to what happens 2 weeks from now against Kentucky, which has been announced as a 7 o'clock game. A 7 o'clock game on ESPN2, so nighttime in Lexington. I imagine it's going to be pretty cold in there by the time November 6th rolls around, right?
Yeah.
A night game, November 6th in Lexington. I got no issue with the loss. Like I said, I didn't like the lack of aggression, and I hope Heupel isn't that way his whole time.
I was going to say, do you think that changes? Because, I mean, my thing is like, yeah, you can maybe learn from that. But then again, he's been a coach for like a long time. Maybe that's just kind of his philosophy. He's just kind of play a little conservative since he does have a, I don't know, fast-paced offense, I guess. I'm not sure.
Maybe he can, you know, I won't say he can't change because coaches have. And like, you know, maybe the math will continue and more people will be making that decision. Like in the NFL, like some coaches have changed. At college, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. Like, I don't know if more people are going for fourth downs or not. I don't know how that's going. But I don't think Hayden's being too negative either. I think he's just still mad at you. I think it's your fault, actually.
That's fine. Whatever.
No, just the people talk about, like, oh, once he gets his guys in here. Well, I mean, I looked at the recruiting rankings last time. We're 31st.
I do think with Heupel, you can look and say that, like, his type of guy or getting his guys in doesn't necessarily have to be big-time recruits. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a red herring, but, like, the defense has been pretty damn explosive or disruptive. You know, I think they got 70 tackles for loss. It does seem like Tim Banks.
Yeah, first in SEC.
Yeah, tackles for loss. That's what I'm saying. Like, it does seem disruptive. So I don't know if the defense can sustain that. Like, I don't know if this is just kind of misleading. I don't know if, like, it's going to
We need a lot better, like, skilled linebackers, and we need a better offensive line.
Yeah, but, I mean, linebacker's a huge gap.
But, I mean, I think you should be able to at least keep the same level of linebackers. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're 20th in recruiting in the country, 25th in recruiting, like, I'd imagine they'll have a couple of linebacker pieces that are going to be as good on paper as what you have now. It's not like Jeremy Banks was a big-time linebacker. Now, he's a four-star athlete or a four-star running back that played, you know. But he was, you know, kind of a project, and it looks like Banks has gotten through to him. It's not like Juwan Mitchell is here propping the defense up. I mean, like, I think you can get some people like that in the transfer portal that maybe can help you. Like, I know that we've been talking about recruiting, and maybe you're not going to be able to get it to get to the level where you need to actually get to, but I do think that they're going to piece together some stuff in the transfer portal or in the recruiting classes that maybe don't have to have the big four-star and five-stars. Now, are you going to catch Georgia that way? No, but let's, you know, probably not catch Georgia anyway. You're going to catch Alabama? No. Like, Georgia's in Atlanta and wins a lot of games, and Alabama's won a bunch of national championships. It's not the goal right now in the foreseeable future.
Can we get to a consistent 8-9 wins a year?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think so. And
absolutely.
I think you can get to 7 this year. Like I said, I think Tennessee can go there and beat Kentucky. That's what this season is going to come down to, on whether or not you're feeling good. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We knew it headed in, but it was a pretty crummy week of football. Nothing really on Saturday stood out. Sunday was maybe the worst Sunday in NFL history. It was the first time since 1993 and just the second time since 1975 that only one game was decided by one possession. That was it. There was only one one-score game all day yesterday.
Wow. The Falcons-Dolphins game, yeah.
The average margin of victory was 20 points, and that was the worst since 1970. And then college football, we didn't have, you know, much of anything, right? Was there anything that stood out there?
I guess the biggest thing was, what, Oklahoma State getting beat? I mean, just a top 10 team getting beat, probably the biggest thing.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
I mean, we're still, like we talked about, Iowa State was favored, yeah.
Yeah, Iowa State was favored, but didn't cover. I think we all had Oklahoma State, so shout out to us.
The non-overtime game was fun.
I didn't watch a second of that game. What the hell? What the hell are we doing?
I had it on there because I was getting ready to watch Oregon UCLA, and that game would just not end. It was
so
hilarious.
The rule now is, I don't even remember them changing the rule, but so the rule now is, after, is it after three or two overtimes they go to the 2-point conversion?
Starting in the third overtime.
Yeah, I was gonna say after two. So you get one regular overtime. The second one you have to go for two after a touchdown, and then the third one is just two.
Is that true? You have to go for two in the second overtime? I didn't know that.
After you score a touchdown?
No, it used to be the third overtime.
I was
going
to say, okay. Yeah, it used to be.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that then.
Yeah.
And then a game still ended at 20-18.
I was going to say.
That's the funniest thing. Nine overtimes, 20-18.
And I'm assuming that was the hit the under, right?
Yeah,
I'm just assuming.
It was 45. I mean,
it was starting getting close. It started getting close to the over-under. Like, if they had tied and, like, gotten it, like, two or three more times, they might have been okay.
If they would have actually just scored in the overtimes 3-7, then it would have hit.
Some people where I was watching the game, and I think were sweating the over-under because they were living and dying with every one of those tries.
Isn't that rule supposed to, like, help the game end sooner? Isn't that kind of the goal? So it doesn't go to 9 overtimes, and it was, like, the exact opposite?
But, I mean, like, even if you look at it, like, 9 overtimes at that, with that setup, is shorter than like 3 overtimes of real football, where you're actually like running plays. I mean, if you're running,
right,
if the overtime's 2 plays, then you can live with that. I think it's kind of the idea.
College overtime's so stupid. I don't care what anybody says. I hate college overtime. NFL's so much better, so much better.
I got no qualm there.
But that's kind of the opposite of what everybody else says. But
I know, and it's crazy to me.
I would like to see him just do it, start in the third overtime. Instead of 2-point conversion, just do the high school overtime rule.
Where you start at the 10-yard line?
Yeah, 10-yard line, 4 plays. Because that game would end it so much faster because neither team could.
I was going to say, were both offenses just that bad?
Yeah.
Is that what this was?
The whole game was just terrible. Like, it was just so funny trying to watch them score from the 2-yard line because they didn't want to throw the ball. And then every time they ran it, they would get 1 yard and just get stuffed. And then finally, I think it was Illinois who got it. And then I was like, Penn State's definitely going to get it right here. And they did. Yeah. They barely got it.
Then they got stopped, and then Illinois hit theirs for a walk-off, which good for Brett Bielema, I guess. He kind of needed it after he kind of – we didn't really talk about it, but after he threw his team under the bus a little bit.
Yeah.
There was some more context to it that, like, the lineman he kind of threw under the bus, I guess it all, like, transferred out.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it seemed worse than it actually was whenever you look at, like, who in the locker room was there that he was making fun of.
What did he say?
He had a whole thing that was basically like, we don't have the horses. Basically, like, you know, I don't have a Big Ten offensive line. Like, you know, he's like, our two deep in offensive line basically has no difference makers on it.
Wow.
And everyone's just like, my God, he's taking a blowtorch to him, like, his own guys right here. And then some people came out and was like, well, it's not as bad as it seems.
He's pretty much what we got on the roster is trash. He said, we're going to get some. He said, we'll be getting some new people in.
I mean, that was essentially what he said. I mean, I don't think he's wrong, but it's not something you come out and say. So I thought maybe that game, you know, that maybe they would lay down, but they came out and kind of got him another big win. I mean, Penn State was what, ranked top 15?
Number 7.
Okay. Yeah, they're top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah.
Even Illinois gets a damn top 5 win. We can't get a top 10 win, or a top 10 win, and we can't get one, but Illinois gets one.
Took them 9 overtimes.
They still got it.
I think all these Big Ten teams being in the top 10 is such a joke. Like, I don't know. Like, I think Michigan State might be for real. Michigan might be okay. I think Ohio State is unequivocally the best team. I think Iowa is – I don't know about Iowa. Like, but Penn State has not done anything all year.
Yeah.
Like, they got beat – they had Iowa on the ropes, which that doesn't say much now. And they got – they beat Wisconsin, like, barely. Like, but there's a world where Wisconsin and Penn State are just, like, switch sides if they win that one game. And Wisconsin's been terrible this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right. It is all set up to, like, that's a problem. I mean,
you just beat each other, so you're just, like, moving around. Yeah. Same thing in college basketball. Like,
it is the same thing in college basketball. But even they, like, you know, I take them as a more legitimate, you know, Big Ten basketball conference. But then they got to the tournament the last couple of years and haven't really, you know, been good, right? Outside of Michigan.
Yeah, I think they only had one team make it to the Sweet 16.
I think it was Michigan, right? I mean, it's basically.
I think it was only one team in the Sweet 16, right? Or did Illinois make the Sweet 16?
Illinois, I think, got knocked out in the Sweet 16,
I think they only one team.
No, they got beat the second round again.
I was going to say, they played
Loyola, right? Loyola beat them as they.
Oh, yeah. 9-1.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they only have one team make the Sweet 16 this year. And they had, at one point, they had like 10 of the top 15 teams or something like that.
I just want to congratulate myself for maybe one of the worst bets in recorded history. I'm not kidding when I say I think that might be the biggest miss on a point spread. It'd be hard to be worse.
Yeah.
The under in the Army-Wake Forest game was 54, and the final was, what, 70-56?
Yeah, the losing team scored more than the total.
I can't imagine that's happened very often, but especially when you add in the other team scores 70. So, you know, you miss that by... what, 73 points, basically?
Yeah.
Can't imagine there's been very many point spreads that have gone the opposite direction. Like, Stanford was like 40-point underdogs to USC that one time and beat them, but they beat them by a field goal, so that was only like a 43-point difference.
I used a little, like, free play boost on that game.
I'm sorry.
Threw it in a parlay with some other...
I'm sorry.
I threw it in a parlay, too.
It wasn't the only reason.
I'm not going to lie.
It was just comical after a while, because they almost covered it, like... with 5 minutes left in the second quarter, it was covered.
No, I know.
Sounds like your trends maybe need to hop off those a little bit, huh?
Okay, no. I mean, 2-3 in college football, it's fine. I still got to be around 60% at least. Like, I mean, if Clemson covers, we still have another winning week, and I still think Clemson should have lost by at least just a field goal there. You guys see the shovel pass that finally got DJ Ogilary or whatever the hell his name. I'm not learning his name because I don't need to now because he's going to – hell, he might transfer here. Who knows? He might be our quarterback in 2 years. But, like, that shovel pass was one of the worst I've ever seen. He threw a shovel pass, pick six, and then they're like, okay, Dabo's like, you got to go. You're out of here.
Yeah.
Come on. Your time here is done in this town. Now we're going to put in this kid who tore his Achilles in April. You're out.
And his name looks like it's even more ridiculous to pronounce. So,
and I hate to do that, but I'm just not even going to try because I'll butcher it even worse than I do. So.
Yeah.
You know, I have seen some recent bowl projections that have Tennessee and Clemson squaring up in the Duke Mayo Classic. And crazy enough, you have a lot of Tennessee fans saying, bring it on, we'll beat the hell out of Clemson. And I'm not sure they're wrong. Which is wild. Imagine telling yourself that before the year. You'd be wanting Clemson and feeling like you're going to beat them.
No kidding. Shout out to Kenny Pickett. He's going to be, I think, the number one pick in the draft next year. Call me crazy. Call me crazy. We do this every year, John, with these ACC quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones. They try to make Sam Howell that guy. Now it's Pickett. He'll be the top pick in the draft.
Well, I'm just going to say I feel like the track record there is working against him. Kenny Pickett's not going to be the first pick in the draft.
Who is?
Thibodeau from Oregon.
Okay, well, first quarterback taken will be Kenny Pickett.
Who completely wrecked UCLA Bruins.
Could not block him. I mean, they were trying to put two or three guys on him. He's just going right around him.
If I'm him, I'm not playing another game after that. I'm not counting. No. If you guys get to the playoffs, I'll be there. Otherwise, I'm good. Your lock of the week. You just screamed about UCLA.
I was 5-2.
Should have won, man. What are you talking about? They should have won.
Why should they have won? They were up
like 14-0. I was feeling so good.
It's a 60-minute game.
Yes, I understand that.
Dummied.
The Eagles got to a 7-0 lead, too.
I know. Yeah. It's feeling good, too.
And then Derek Carr went 31-34. I'm looking right now at the updated mock draft just to check. I'm going to see if anybody else is feeling you. And it doesn't, you know, it's not the end all be all, and maybe it doesn't matter until the combine and all that, but he is still not a first round quarterback.
Wait and see.
Second or third rounder.
I mean, his age, I don't know if it maybe, I guess, just because there's going to be somebody's about to get drafted at quarterback, but no, he's not going to be the first pick.
Wait
Matt Corral's all the way up to number 7. Yeah. How about that?
What about Carson Strong? Is he on there?
Who the hell is Carson Strong?
Nevada.
Yeah, they're QB.
Yep, he is in the first round. He is at number 17. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's going to have to do something. Pitt might take Kenny Pickett. Play the same stadium.
Hmm?
Malik Willis is no longer a first-round pick, according to these guys, so something to keep an eye on.
Said the same thing about Trubisky. Do you think Trubisky would be the number 2 pick?
No.
That first quarterback taken?
No, and he shouldn't have been.
Exactly.
So I don't know if like somebody's going to make the same mistake, but
these teams get desperate for a quarterback, man.
Yeah.
Justin Fields yesterday. 5 turnovers.
Yeah, but Mr. Biscay, I'm like, okay, now where are you guys at? I never did that.
And it was funny, like
Andy Dalton, they keep showing him on the sidelines, like, put me in, I can do better than this.
It was in the last 5 years, the second time that's happened to a Bears quarterback. Matt Barkley had the same thing happen like 2016.
Jeez.
Yeah, like I feel like. Like, I feel like after that performance, somebody's got to go.
Well, he's got COVID now, John.
Yeah, you can't fire him. Can't fire a guy with COVID.
Nagy has COVID?
Yeah.
Good timing by him.
Yeah.
Good timing by him. But, yeah, we talked about a couple of stats. So, we've had some historically bad performances in a lopsided blowout Sunday. The Eagles are now on pace to have the worst pass defense of all time. They are giving up 74.4% completion on their passes. The NFL record for any quarterback for a season was Drew Brees, and he had 74.4%. So basically every time you play the Eagles, you turn into Drew Brees' record-setting accuracy after Derek Carr went 31 of 34, which is what, like 91-92%?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, some of the other teams looked around and was like, you know what? We got to do something. The Panthers get blown out again. Good call by you on saying they're going to make the playoffs. Woof.
If they trade for Deshaun, they still might.
Them and the Broncos are racing to the bottom. But, yeah, no, after that, it was said that the Panthers are now making a bold bid for Deshaun Watson. And that they've already made an offer that will likely be accepted by the Texans. So we'll see. They saw Sam Darnold, and that might end up being one of the worst trades, giving up a second round pick for him. But they
saw that. What happened to the guy, man? He was good 3 weeks. They beat the Saints. Can't say they didn't beat at least a decent defense and looked good. I don't get it.
He is a front runner to the 10th degree, or the nth degree, however that saying goes. When it was going well, Sam Darnold was okay. He was feeling good. And then once he gets some adversity, he's back to seeing ghosts and loses all of his confidence. Either that or maybe it's just Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. One of the two. But Justin Fields, on top of being just not very good at passing, he's not really having any time to pass, and he's just not making the right reads. Because right now he has been sacked already the most times of any quarterback in the season this year. And like he's not played all year. He's only 30th in pass attempts, so Only 30th in pass attempts and first in sacks. That doesn't seem good. 14.4% of the time he drops back to pass, he gets sacked. No other quarterback is even at 10%. Five turnover game yesterday. The first since Sam Darnold did it in 2019. And then, like you said, Matt Barkley did it against Washington in 2016. So, if you're the Bears, you're just like, okay, well, our season's done. Now what do we do?
Yeah. Panthers looked terrible yesterday, too. My God.
Panthers look bad. They're done for. They're going to – maybe they panic trade for Deshaun Watson. I saw
that getting rumored today, too.
Yeah. I know you're mad at Draven, but we just said that like a
thousand really?
Ago. Yeah, I know you're blocking it out when Draven was talking because you're so mad at him. So I'm not going to be too upset with you, but yeah, I just said that, but it's fine. And, you know, I did think, you know, maybe Miami would look and say, okay, Tua didn't look that bad.
He was awful. He was awful.
I didn't see in the game. I just saw
he threw two interceptions that were – one was in the red zone, brutal. The other one was right after an interception.
I just saw he's the second-rated passer over the last 2 weeks, so they were trying to gas him up, but maybe not.
Well, it was a 13-point game, like the entire game.
I did see that
game. And they came back and then strip-sacked Matt Ryan and took the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then just
Dolphins actually came back and got the lead.
Yeah, it was 28-27.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Falcons had to kick a game-winning field goal.
Falcons went straight down the field. Like two plays were already in field goal range.
Yeah. How much time was left when Miami took the lead?
Like one play over the 2-minute warning. Okay. So it was like 2:20 or something like that.
I didn't realize it came all the way back.
Yeah, they threw two passes to Kyle Pitts, and he was just mossing people. Like,
yeah,
Pitts looked great. Yeah, he looked great.
Kyle Pitts does look good. You can see why people wanted to draft him so highly. Falcons, you know.
Hey, how about them?
They're back to 500.
Playoff contender?
Their defense is so bad.
I don't know about the playoff contender part of it, but when you look at how everything's shaken out, like the AFC, I don't want to say it's decided because, you know, it's not, but
man, the top six teams are definitely going to make the playoffs, I feel like, in the AFC.
The top six teams in the AFC, you're ready to say, are in there?
Yeah. That we talked about, the ones that were 5-2 or 4-2.
So you're locking in the Bengals, Raiders, Titans, Ravens, and Bills. Well, those are the 4-5-2 teams.
Yeah.
And then the Bills at 4-2?
Yeah, and the Chargers.
At 6-2. So you got six teams already in there?
Yeah. And the last spot's going to be
the Browns, Steelers, Patriots, Colts, or Chiefs?
Yeah. Yeah, one of those.
I mean, the Bengals' defense does seem very legitimate. It's very fast. It moves around. The offense, what a trick Ja'Marr Chase pulled on everybody. Right before the season, somehow he had to adjust to the new ball.
Did you see that touchdown he had?
Yeah.
The spin move? Yeah. My goodness.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he's great.
And you remember why he was like, I'm not playing my senior year or my junior year of college ball. I'm good. I'm just going to sit out.
And if Joe Burrow had got hurt last year, like, there's an argument that he could have been Rookie of the Year last year. And then
they would have gotten Ja'Marr Chase, though.
Back-to-back. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Then they wouldn't have gotten Ja'Marr Chase because they probably won a couple more games. But now the Bengals, I mean, they had a good connection at LSU, and it looks like they're picking it up in college, at the pro level, which is kind of cool. But, yeah, their defense, when you pick at the top of the draft for a couple years in a row, you start getting some playmakers. But I will say, right now, it's kind of cool. The 2019 number one overall pick, the one seed, Kyler Murray. In the NFC, and currently the 2020 number one overall pick, Joe Burrow, number one in the AFC through 7 weeks. So both those quarterbacks changing their fortunes of their franchise. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by the book at Harris Cherokee. Make your way up to North Carolina or over or down, depending on where you're listening from. Go to Harris Cherokee. Go take advantage of the book. Live sports betting in person, a 90-foot TV wall. You can order a private fan cave for you and your boys or girls. Support the people who support us. The book at Harris Cherokee. Hour one is over. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.